Welcome to Power, Strength and Vulnerability, the Mental Health Podcast. It's time to make mental health a normal conversation with your host, Shane Kelton.
Welcome to the listeners. I've got three guests today, so this could be an absolute shit show, but hopefully not. I've got three wonderful ladies here who have been PTs, have gone through their own transformations, and are just amazing women in this space. So welcome, Alicia, and Lisa.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
It's very funny because I got bad connection. Like, sometimes I can see someone move like half a centimeter, but someone else is frozen. So everyone's smiling right now. That's fantastic. So firstly, I'm going to go around the room a little bit here and just explain how I know each of you, and just tell the listeners a little bit about you before we sort of go into the conversation part of it. Firstly, I'll start with Lisa. Lisa, I think I've known nearly the longest, actually probably the longest. I actually probably known you of Lisa before I even knew Alicia.
Oh.
So you are Kane Patterson's better half.
Yep.
You are business owner of Skinny to Strong Transformations.
Mm-hmm. Skinny to Strong podcast, yep.
And Skinny to Strong podcast, which is also fantastic. So you have battled some mental health issues in your time as well, and, you know, are now helping other women, other men transform their life mentally and physically. So welcome. And is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Thank you. No, that was pretty good. Thanks.
One job done. So, yeah, obviously, what's your journey along the way, and have seen you grow, and I'm sure that I've got a story that I can share of how far you've grown in the last few years mentally, which I'll share a bit later on. I'll go around the room now and go to Alicia Hill, who is Jason's better half. So there's a bit of a theme, I guess, with this, is that you're all partners to PTs as well.
Uh-huh.
And all have businesses or at some point been in business with your partner. Alicia, we had on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I might have better, I might speak better English here when I say tactical fitness.
Previously.
Yeah. So welcome, Alicia.
Welcome. Thank you.
And last but not least, my beautiful fiancée, Alicia, who has been on the podcast a couple of times, is now running Vitality Fit all by herself and helping many people achieve their goals. So as the listeners can probably tell, we've got three PTs who have all had mental health battles along the way, and we're basically going to be talking about all of that and everything in between. Firstly, I'll go around the room, the table, so to speak, and ask you all, how are your businesses going through COVID, and what does it look like going forward for you guys? And I know Alicia's had a huge change in the last couple of weeks, so maybe we'll save Alicia to last and we'll start with Lisa.
Okay. So business during COVID, when COVID first started happening, and some of our clients were losing work, we lost quite a few clients from that because they just couldn't afford to work with us anymore. Face-to-face training, we lost a few people from that. So luckily, some of our clients, we were able to transfer to online training, which was awesome. Kane, he started working in a commercial gym and was just on the verge of signing up a few clients, and he was all excited to be back in there and things like that, and then all of a sudden gyms are shut and all that just fell to pieces, and that was really tough. Luckily, we did have some online clients already, so we had sort of already built that side of the business up, so that helped us a little bit. I think if we only had face-to-face, I honestly don't know what would have happened with our business, whether we would have been able to stay afloat or not. I found that I've actually become more productive since lockdown, which is kind of weird in a way, but I think because our only focus was online, I knew that I had to show up every day on social media and things like that and represent the business in a way that we hadn't been completely focused on before. So in a way, I think it's been a positive thing for me within the business. Kane not so much. He struggled a bit, a fair bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kane's always been very big in interacting with people.
He has,
And wanting to sort of get out and try, even if it's just train with people. So I can see that where I guess you've probably learned with some of your anxiety that you've probably learned a way to really manage in that situation quite well.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I think in a way, because he struggled so much, it's kind of made me go, okay, well, one of us needs to step up a bit and support the other partner. Okay, this is what I've got to do to keep us on track.
That's fantastic as well. I think you probably you wouldn't be the only couple in that scenario right now. There's a lot of people out there losing jobs, and if one person loses the job, the other one, you'll step up. I guess, is there any questions from the other Alicias to Lisa at the moment, or can I move on?
No, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I'm
pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So, Alicia Hill, I mean, you've had a huge change in the last week. You know,
it's been a bit of a shit show.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm honest.
Well, tell us, run us through it. I think we've all had to adapt in some way or other, and it's been big shifts. And I mean, when you've put all your gym equipment on up for sale, that tells me there's been a pretty huge shift.
Yeah. I hate how we have to say the first lockdown. So, like, in the first lockdown, obviously for all of us, we were given, like, basically 9 hours notice to be like, right, shop shut, sort your shit out, you got to be out, goodbye. And with that 9 hours, it was like, okay, oh, my God, the initial thoughts are I'm going to lose everyone. And then I was like, nope, we're going online, we're going to do Zoom, we're going to do this. And it was all good. And essentially, and to kind of narrow everything down, my online business has been excellent. I have lost probably about 40% of my clients due to financial hardship. And obviously a gym membership's a luxury. And when you're looking at your finances and you're like, I need to cut back, I need to save money. Unfortunately for us lot, it's like we're one of the first things that get eliminated from the budget, which is understandable. I'm sure if I had a gym membership, I'd be doing exactly the same thing. And then obviously we put in a lot of time because the gym, we'd only been there for a year. We'd moved into a new property. And during the lockdown, I'd painted it. I'd completely rebranded to make it my own and make it my own thing, that it was more holistic, more about your mindset, more about mental health and working with postnatal women. And then obviously closed again straight away, which was shite. And we had no, I'm not sure if anyone else was in the same position, but with any of the government grants or the JobKeeper, we weren't eligible for any of it because of the way our business was set up as a sole trader without employees. And then Jason, the business was in Jason's name, and only in the new financial year did we change over the business into my name. So I hadn't been in business long enough to then be applicable for any of the grants. And we were in a commercial lease, and it was just like there was no budging, no help. And we had to make a very difficult decision because my mental health was suffering because of it. And I was becoming a really horrible person. Not to be around, but like I didn't feel like I was being a good mum because I was constantly stressed about having like outgoings for a house, outgoings for a gym. And we managed to negotiate and have the ability to surrender our lease, which, like, when your business is your baby for like 4 years, 4.5 years, it's like my third child. And letting go of that has just been torturous. But I've never felt so much love and support from all of my clients and my team before in my life. And it just really shows, like, who's around you. And it's like, yeah, it's the end of tactical fitness, but I'm really excited about the next chapter and what I kind of can create and do, which is going to be interesting. But everything's sold now. It's all gone. It's literally just an empty warehouse within 72 hours, which is just, if only people signed up for gym memberships as quickly as their bloody came and took your equipment, we'd be laughing, wouldn't we? But anyway.
I mean, that's really good that people want to buy the equipment, because that obviously takes the stress away for you for getting rid of it or storing it in the meantime. So,
and it's just it's a financial relief, because we can use that money to pay for the exit fees that you still have to pay. I think the government should pay them, but anyway.
Yeah, well, this podcast could turn very political, but let's save that for Facebook rant. I guess the first question that I have to ask on that is, so you said the gym was your third baby. Does that mean Jason's your fourth?
No, he's my teenager. So
he's my
teenager.
Alicia, can I be a teenager? You keep calling me a child, so I want to be a teenager like Jace.
You go up and down. You go from a child to a toddler to a teenager. You know, you're everything.
It varies. Yeah, it varies.
I mean, when you were talking about, you know, letting go and surrendering, it got me emotional, because I know, and I'll obviously talk to my Alicia in a second, but we've gone through that exact same process. You know, do we just surrender the gym? Do we just, you know, call it a day? You know, what do we do? And it, I guess, having started the business 5.5 years ago myself, like, it genuinely is like yours, and you get attached to it. So I'm sure people listening are going, whether it be a PT business or a hairdressing business or, you know, cafes at the moment, you know, there's probably been a cafe shutting. I saw the Hawthorn, which is somewhere I frequented when I was 18, 19, weekly as a pub, you know, they had to hand their lease back. And so there's going to be a lot of pubs and stuff like that out there. And I guess go to my lease. You know, what have you experienced over the last six months? And I know there was one point where you're excited to go back to the gym, and then we decided that we wanted to go into lockdown again. So how's it been for you?
I lost you there. So obviously at the start, you know, as both of Lisa and Alicia already said, it was really hard at the start, you know, getting that very small warning of needing to shut your business down. And it was actual panic mode initially. And I suppose at times it was just trying to regather your thoughts and be like, okay, you can't panic. You're the one in charge. If you start panicking, the clients are then going to, you know, feel that panic as well. So the panic couldn't really last for too long. And then it was about getting the clients in. And we had the discussion about leasing our equipment out. We thought, what's the best thing that we can do here with our clients? You know, the equipment is just going to be sitting in the factory, so may as well get used. So we put the post up to get the clients to come in and lease the equipment out, and the factory is basically completely bare. So gave them an opportunity to realise that I was trying to give back to them and let them realise that they could still do stuff at home, that it wasn't going to be the end. Just because the factory was closing doesn't mean that their exercise is going to stop. So they absolutely loved that, having actually equipment at home. And it was not that long after that that I started the Zoom online classes. And at the start, similar to the others, the business definitely took a hit with a number of clients having to unfortunately finish up due to money situation or loss of job. But, you know, the core of my clients have stayed on and they've absolutely been fantastic. Like the community support from them to get me through some sessions and some weeks has been absolutely amazing. Like, you know, I reach out to them on a weekly basis and so many of them actually write back and go, how are you going? Like you're always there for us, smiling online every Zoom session. So it's nice to, you know, them to reach out at the same time. But it was tough at the start, but there's been a lot of signups online as well. And it's kind of made me realize that, you know, just because we're in lockdown and face-to-face has stopped, anything's possible. Like if people want to achieve a particular goal or start to change themselves, they can do it absolutely anywhere in the world. And it doesn't mean you have to be face-to-face. You can do everything online. It's so, like, technology these days is fantastic. And the sooner more people realize that, you know, online businesses will be absolutely flourishing. It's definitely been challenging, but it's also been rewarding at the same time and realizing that there's so many other things that I can do and give to my clients as well. And it's made me research a lot more exercises as well to provide something exciting online, because you are limited online. So I've done a lot more research and given all these new exercises to them, and that excites them. They love new things. And so that's been something that I've been working on, I suppose, in the past month and a half.
Awesome. I know all that, so I can't really add much to that. So I want to just say well done to all three of you. It sounds like all three of you have adapted in the best way that you know how. And I know, Lisa, at some points you've done some other work outside of this that were worse than office work. So do you want to sort of talk about why you did that and how that helps your, I guess, mental health, but financial pressures and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely some financial pressure there. So Kane and I were fortunate enough to get some government support, but still not quite enough to keep us afloat. So I have been taking on some casual work. It's been here and there. You know, I might have a week and then it might be a month or more before I have anything again. But just being able to get out of the house and socialize with people, I can't believe how good it feels to get out. As I, Penn and I have worked from home for years and didn't realize how much of a hermit we really became, but getting out of the house and just talking to people and literally getting out of the house has been really important for me. I've really enjoyed it, like loved going to work.
It's so funny, like, that you say that, because at the start of the first lockdown, I went and got Uber Eats and my Uber Eats delivery license, basically. And I sometimes, I'm so excited to do Uber Eats, just to get out of the house or a lot of the customers, we're not meant to interact with the customers, they run to the door just to say thank you. And it just shows how much, you know, they're missing the interaction as well. So
yeah, like, just talk to me. I'd be the same. I'd be like, hi, enjoy your dinner. What are you having tonight? Literally.
I felt so fortunate to be able to get out there and actually work, because so many people were struggling. So even though I might not necessarily have enjoyed everything that I was doing, the fact that I had something that I could go to, I felt was really special.
But I think it's also important for me to say this here is you had the option in terms of to not put yourself out there to get work somewhere else. And because there is, I know a lot of industries are losing, but there is a lot of industries who are thriving at the moment and they are looking for people to work there. So there is always things out there. But I think where it comes really tricky for someone is that's that fear factor that they're going to be able to, they're going into a job that they don't like. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to do it forever. But so I think, you know, kudos to you for doing that, because it's not easy to walk into docs like that. And I guess that's where other Alicia here couldn't do that, because she has two kids at home to look after. So getting another job like that would have been quite difficult. So, I mean, you've all got different situations here. I mean, how did your mental health play out over the last 6 to 8 months?
I got other work as well.
Oh, did you? I didn't even know that. What have you been doing?
thanks, mate. No, I've been doing I'm so passionate about social media and marketing that I kind of freelanced myself out, and I've been hired a few times. I've been doing part-time work building websites, and then I created my own online course as well. So I think, you know, when you're in that point, you're just like, you hustle, don't you? If you like, we're all business owners. We've all got these creative mindsets where, you know, when you're put up against the wall, I feel like that's the best place for us to be sometimes, because we're just like, boom, like, what can we do? It's like, yeah, okay, I'll get part-time work. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We sit there and wallow for a few hours, maybe a couple of days, but then you're like, this is my life. Like, I need to make it work. And it's super cool. Like, it's really cool being like that. And like, that's, I think what I learned is just when your back is up against the wall, it's like, wow, how, like Lisa said, how productive you can be. And like, just like Alicia was like looking for stuff and finding new things. It's like, it's all those things that are super cool. So if anyone needs a marketer, I'm here.
Well, there you go. There you go. People listening now might go, that's what we need. We don't need a PT. We need a marketer. And then, I mean, so Lisa and all the other Alicia's like, oh, all three of you, how's your mental health played out over the last nearly 9 months while we've been into lockdowns? I'm guessing up and down.
Yeah, I'll go. I suppose I've gone from someone who is very sociable and love to talk to people, and now have gone to become a hermit. And I've really struggled, you know, knowing that I can't get out of the house and go see people or interact with people has been a real struggle for me. And I suppose at times, you know, and I've spoken to Shane about this, that I get jealous of him able to go to work and able to go do Uber Eats, because, you know, that's his work, line of work. And then when he comes home, I'm like, going to be want to like talk right at him because I haven't had any interaction with anyone. So for him, he's just like, oh my God, here she goes again. But I really miss that social interaction. And so that's, you know, it's been definitely up and down. There's times that I'm like, I love having just time to myself and not talk to anyone. But then there's other times I'm like, I'm really missing it. I just go into days of just be like, I don't want to do anything because I just feel so down and sad and lonely as well. But then there's other times I'm like, nope, get your stuff done and be as productive as possible. So it's been a real roller coaster for me.
Yeah. Same for me.
Lisa?
Yeah, same for me. At first, like when we first went into the lockdown, I was like really not enjoying it, really not happy with everything that had happened, not being able to see family and friends, obviously, not being able to go to the gym. I really wasn't happy about it all. Even though Kane and I do have a setup at home, it's not the same. It's not the same as getting up and getting ready and going somewhere to the gym. So that hit hard. And then I kind of adjusted to it, back to my little hermit that I became. I didn't mind so much being at home again. Then when restrictions eased and we were starting to be able to go out again, that's when I started getting really anxious. It was all of a sudden there was people everywhere, and I go to the supermarket, I'm like, oh, there's too many people, they're near me, are they breathing on me? And I started kind of freaking out. And even speaking to my niece, she was really struggling with getting back into reality and being around people again, because she experiences anxiety as well. And I found that really hard to hear that she was struggling so much. Obviously, money was a massive concern that played a big role in stress for Kane and I. You know, are we going to be able to pay rent next month and things like that? So getting out and getting the casual work and stuff was really important. Then second lockdown, I took that a lot harder because we just started to get a taste of getting back to reality. I started going back to the gym again. I was like, this is really cool. I'm loving it. I'm so happy. And then all of a sudden it was like, bang, nothing. You can't do anything again. And that took me a lot longer to get out of that rut. Kane took it really hard. And I think that's when I kind of went, all right, I'm not happy, but he's in a much worse headspace. Let's just try and pick it up so one of us is still going okay with the business and things like that. I felt like I needed to kind of carry the business a little bit, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, so from what you said in relation to exercise, I totally hear you in what you said that it was really a struggle getting out outside and doing it yourself and having that motivation. Funny thing, like my first lockdown, I struggled with the exercise side of things. And I think this second lockdown, I've actually gone, no, get your butt into gear, stop like making excuses. And, you know, I've been so accountable this second lockdown. So my first lockdown, I wasn't as accountable to myself with exercise wise. But this second lockdown, it's kind of whipped me into shape to be like, nah, get it together and sort yourself out. As much as it's not enjoyable doing it here at home. But yeah, I've found the second lockdown a little bit easier than the first one, a little bit different to you.
Alicia Hill, how have you found it with exercise and homeschool and kids? And we obviously went into this into the previous podcast, but more the fitness side of things.
Fitness-wise, the first time round, I was doing a lot of like pre-recorded sessions as an add-on to the Zoom sessions. And that was great. That was keeping me somewhat accountable. But I don't enjoy cardio. I don't enjoy doing group fitness. I enjoy teaching it. I love teaching it. I don't enjoy doing it. And obviously we did the same thing. We gave out all of our equipment to all of our clients. And so I basically had like either a 30 kilo kettlebell or a 6 kilo dumbbell. And there was no like happy medium of, okay, let's work out and have fun with this, because it was like, right, you either kill yourself or you just do 6 kilos and you think you didn't work out. And it was just a juggle, because in between that Jason was working, so I was home with the kids, and then I was teaching, and then it was just finding that time. I was using all of the excuses that I try and promote not using, like, oh, I haven't got the time, I'm tired. But I genuinely just mentally was so fatigued where I was like, I just can't be bothered. And even walking, like, I was only getting maybe 7,000 steps in a day, and just super sedentary, pretty much, just in a real slump. And then the last 6 weeks I came out of it, moving a little bit more, being a bit more accountable to Jason, but he's in the same boat. And so when you have two really unmotivated people not motivated to want to do it, we're like, we need a personal trainer. We need someone to be accountable to. Like, literally. So it's just been a roller coaster of, meh.
I think, it's a really good point. Like, I think all of us have gone through that in these last couple of months. And, it's definitely one of those things where you learn so much through this about what actually a client is going through. Like, because this is really going to help personal trainers go, when a client in a year or 2 years' time goes, oh, I'm not motivated, I haven't got the time, you're going to go, I get it. Yeah. I really do get it. So it's not going to be, all right, here's – and I hope it doesn't go like this, but I hope trainers don't just go, well, here's your 5-day program. They say, no, you're doing 1 day a week for the next 12 weeks. and you're not doing any more than that. And then you can do two and just really understand that they're swamped. So I guess, is there anything more you'd want to add on to any of that? Everyone's like, happy, best podcast ever.
I'll make a comment. Like, you know how, Alicia, you made a comment about you need to find a personal trainer for you and Jason. Like, I totally can relate to that, because in that first lockdown, I didn't have a coach and I was just doing it all by myself. I had no accountability to anyone. And, yeah. You know, so many people out there think, oh, yeah, personal trainers, they're fine. You know, they don't. They've got it easy. They don't need to have accountability to anyone. You know, their job is their accountability. But, you know, even us need that accountability to someone.
And they think you're super healthy and you do all the right things. And you don't. Yes. I had a donut for breakfast this morning.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so hard. But, yeah, in the second lockdown, that's when I was like, no, I actually need a coach. I need to find I need that accountability to someone. So I think now, you know, having that accountability and, you know, being having to talk to someone and on a weekly basis has made so much, you know, motivation so much easier, yeah, in a sense, 100%. Because there is that other person. So,
I can
attest to that too. Like, I didn't have a coach, and then this is the first time I'll publicly say this, but I've reached out to obviously Alicia's partner, Jason, and it's changed my life like dramatically. And people think that I basically hadn't trained for 18 months prior to that. So it got to about 4 weeks in, and I'm like, I'm ready to do like 3 or 4 sessions a week, Jason. He's like, no, you're not. You haven't trained for 18 months. Don't think you can do any. And he like was very quickly like pulled me into line. And I was like, and then the week after, I like, because I obviously had adrenal fatigue over the 18 months and still am pushing through a lot of that. And a week after, I said I wanted more sessions. I had like 3 of the worst days I've had for months. And he's like, I told you. And I'm like, oh no. But that's what the accountability is there for as well, is for someone to say, you're not ready to just push yourself. Mm-hmm. Yet. And it's been huge for me, like, I don't know, like week 8 or whatever. And I've rode every bump along the last 8 weeks with him. Honestly, like, people probably listening going, oh, PTs will tell you every week that you need to, like, keep stepping out, where I think it's only 1 week out of 8 he's actually told me to change anything. And it was to get more omega-3 and flax oil in for my joint pain, which comes with the adrenal fatigue. And it was for nothing, no other reason than that. Like, so I hope people that are listening can understand that you three and Alicia has disappeared off screen, and she's probably just got a phone call. So if the other girls are looking and going, where the fuck's Alicia going? That's where it is. It's been really important to have someone to be accountable to. And It's even not even the fact that you know they're going to look at your stuff. It's like, oh, I said this to Jace last week. I was driving past a gluten-free bakery and I was like, oh, I have to write this in my food record.
Yes.
And that just alters, like, you just become aware of what you're doing rather than just going through 6-12 months without being aware that you've probably done that 100 times.
Where personal trainers, you have to differentiate yourself as well. Like, I believe, like, yeah, we're personal trainers, but we're coaches. Like, we coach people through life in stages. And, you know, you see all of those shredded, ripped people that are all over Instagram that are selling these 6-week programs that is always about, you know, you need to decrease calories, you need to move more, you need to do this. But none of those people take a second to look into your lifestyle, to look at what's going on in your personal life, to understand what mental blocks or mental issues or anything that you're facing right now, because that all comes into a part of progress or no progress. And sometimes it's better to make no progress and understand what the hell's going on with your body because of your mind than it is to just go down and start eating 800 calories and doing cardio for an hour and wait 17 times a week. Like, it's all about small steps.
Well, as we would have seen, these things happen over a long period of time and there's lots of things that we have to work on. So getting a 6-week plan, need to understand that that's not going to stick long term. Yeah. It's not what it's about. It's not about the food and the exercise. It's all the stuff behind the scenes that we need to work on.
And even, I mean, longer term, mid to longer term, if the trainers always focus on the food or the exercise, that can be quite dangerous as well, because you get to a point where this person gets a result. And, you know, I have brought this up before on the podcast, but I've seen people with six packs take their own lives. Like, and so for anyone to say a six pack's going to make you happy or your whole body changing is going to make you happy, it's not wholly the answer. There'll be elements to that, but that's just as damaging as someone resorting to chocolate to make them happy. It's just as damaging, because it's mentally going to fuck with you, because you're going to get to a point and you go, yay, I've got a six pack, and then the next day you wake up and go, so fucking what? It actually doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. So, when someone, Alicia's mentor last year, someone she'd worked through a training, he had a six pack and he was the Greek Adonis, and he took his own life at 25. And I was like, there's so much more to this. And that was like, I've got to delve into this more, because, we can't keep putting it out there that this is going to change your mind. It's going to change your body, and elements of your life can change. But if you're not happy internally, it won't matter.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
And I guess this will bring us on to the next topic, and we'll talk about ladies' transformation in today's world, social media, and internal and external comparisons. I mean, I know what it's like for men to be looking on social media and seeing six packs, and I've wanted to follow that trend. And meanwhile, I was gravitated towards Jace. And him helping me is because he's always said to me, you know, you can have a six pack, but that won't define your happiness. He was very early on, he said that to me. And at the time, I was like, oh, get stuff, you're lying. You've had a six pack. And then I got there and I was like, yeah, this actually isn't that great. Like, mentally, I'm still fucked. So, what's it like for ladies with the world today, media, magazines, and everything?
Both Lisa and I rolled our eyes exactly at the same time. Where do we begin?
Begin wherever. Let's see where it goes.
I'm happy to. I think, like, I'm 26. Okay, so I am essentially young, as some people say, and I am a mum. I have a 6-year-old. So when I was 19. When I fell pregnant, and it was all about being fit, being shredded. And it was back then, I won't talk about my previous pregnancy because I learned so much, but after I had Poppy, it just seemed like you just had to snap back. You had to just get, like, you had this baby and then it's like, boom, like that just literally seemed through everything, because I started following like mums on social media and becoming part of these groups and all of this stuff, and everything was just directed at, you know, bouncing back into shape, and this pressure of, okay, you've just gone through like the biggest thing that your body could go through over 10 months, and it's like, now you have to look a certain way straight after, otherwise you're not. Do you know what I mean? And even now, like after, and that's, I work with mums, and I've worked with hundreds of mums over the last 6 years, and it's this mindset, it's literally like brainwashing, so to speak, because of mass marketing, and it's something that I've done a lot of research into, and it's just like, I call it make you feel shit about yourself marketing, because you know, you've got all of these people that are, you know, Jenny lost 24 kilos and you can too in 4 to 5 months. And it's just pushed down into your face that you've got a woman or a mother, or not just even a mother, just a woman that is feeling shit about the way that she looks. And then you've got people going, well, you know, I took tablets and I lost 10 kilos in 3 months. And people think that's just the option, and it's the only option there. And I'm really, really excited to see now that there is this body positive movement happening, and it doesn't matter if you're too thin or you're big. Like, you just need to know that you need to be happy with yourself, mm-hmm. and finding self-love and self-appreciation about your own body doesn't fucking matter what anybody else says. But that is the hardest thing to do. You can eat the foods, you can do the exercise, but if, like you said, Shane, like, if you cannot appreciate what you have got, then you are never going to feel happy. Like, you've literally got one body, you've got one life. What's the point of commiserating and being sad about it for 5-6 years and trying to do everything in your power to change it? Like, try and accept it and find peace or happiness, because what's the point of wasting your life thinking that you could look better and you could be better? And I don't know, that just, that really makes me angry.
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, it's with everything we see with kids, you know, if they get a B, it's like, oh, it's all right, you're not far off an A. It's like, let's just appreciate the B. Let's appreciate the effort, the time. Let's not go, if you put more time into it. Let's just, it's the same with all of this, you know, appreciate the result then and there. And that's what's going to gravitate someone to improve anyway, because they're going to get enjoyment out of that, and they're going to enjoy the process that it got them to do that, and then the accolades along the way. And like, I spoke about this earlier in the year, I'm the happiest I've ever been, and I'm the most unfit, I'm probably the weakest, and probably the most, probably got the most body fat I've ever had in my life. But I'm genuinely,
but the reason that, like, and this is what I talk about quite a lot, is it's the longevity of your life and the quality of your life. And so, like, now you've made conscious efforts to start moving more and to, you know, it might be eat a little bit better, because you're looking at your health. You're looking at long-term health, not a short-term, like, mirror appreciation. It's like, okay, I want to look into, like, I did a talk about it a while ago about looking at your life, not right now, but in 40 years' time. Like, what can you do? What are the actionables that you can make every day, every week, that are going to add quality to your life when you're in your 60s or when you're in your 70s or when you're in your 80s? Do you know what I mean? Not just right now or in 6, 12, 8 weeks' time. It's, let's look 40 years from now, not the immediate future.
That can be a really hard thing for people to do, because most people look at the short-term goals, not long-term. And for me personally, one of my biggest things has been, because I have a lot of lower back pain, I don't want to get into my 40s and my 50s and so on and be in so much pain. Like, I see my parents now and how many struggles they have, and I don't want to be that. I want to prevent that. And that's a lot of my focus has been around long-term health, not just short-term happy results.
And it really sucks, like, you know, hearing that sucks in a couple of ways, but that doesn't sell. So people don't promote that. Like, it, because, and as you said, no one looks 20 years into the future. Mm-mm. Because they just don't. And it scares them. But, and I think, because then you see a goal that's so far away that, you know, it's hard to bring it back again. But the idea is to just keep it in the back of your mind that's what I'm, you know, striving for, because I want to be that parent or that grandparent or that uncle or auntie that can run around with their kids when they're in their teens, or keep up with them, all of that kind of thing. And I think that's ideally what happiness is. It's not a look. You know, our kids don't look at us and go, oh, you're, you know, they don't love you for the way they look. I was about to say they don't make comments about the way they look, but I know for a fact they do, and Alicia can tell you that. But they don't love you because of that. They love you because of who you are and what you do for them and how you make them feel. So Alicia has just joined us, and she just took a phone call. I mean, we're talking about social media, internal and external comparisons in today's world, and how hard that is for ladies to transform. What's your take on the situation?
It's so challenging that, you know, women are perceived as, you know, supposed to be this small figure, and if you're not this particular figure, you're not seen as beautiful. So many, you know, being an ex-high school PE teacher, you know, I heard the teenagers and the girls talk about it, you know, time, you know, day in, day out about, you know, if they weren't this skinny person that the media saw, like, of actors and actresses and all that, they weren't seen as beautiful, and they would put themselves down so much. And it's so sad at how young it starts. And unfortunately, that's how the world is. And that's us as trainers are all, you know, so many of us out there to try and change that, that it's not just all about the look. It's about, you know, being happy and within yourself as well. You know, I definitely went through a phase that it was all about the look. But when I was at my best, the best shape that I was in, mentally I was struggling. I was not in a good headspace. So, you know, it isn't just all about the look. It's about the whole package. And I suppose that's what needs to be put out there in the social media, that it's not just about being this size, you know, size 8 and size 10. You know, who says that that's the figure you're supposed, the size that you're supposed to be? As long as you're happy and content with the way you are, and that's going to make you happy.
Can I ask Alicia a question? So when you say, like, you were in the best shape, but you weren't mentally in a good headspace, why was that? What, like, because I'm sure, and that would help so many women as well, because I experienced a similar thing. So why were you look great, but why didn't you feel great?
Because there were so many expectations getting put on me that I had to be better still. So even though I thought I was the best, you know, shape that I could be in, there were still people telling me that I had to be better, and I had to keep refining my diet, and I had to keep, you know, doing this particular to put another exercise, you know, session in there or something. So what I thought was good was still not good enough for some, you know, for the people who were, you know, coaching me at that point in time. So that's why I was like, oh, but hang, and then I started second guessing myself, because I'm like, oh, but I'm actually really happy in where I am, but I've got to work harder. I've got to go better. I'm like, I don't need to. Like, so I think that second guessing myself continuously, which would made things so much harder for me.
And with those results as well, because it's not something that you can necessarily sustain long term, is it? It's, you can't, like, having, like, what Shane said about the six pack, you can have the six pack, but only lasts for a week. Like, the 95, it does though, doesn't it? Because, you know, you have to consume and do things. And so how long would you say that best shape lasted for?
It only lasted for, you know, a week or so, or 2 weeks as such, because you do have to really refine the types of foods that you are eating. So you're so restricted in, you know, enjoying your food. And I wasn't enjoying my food, because I was, like, told this is what you have to eat to be, make sure that the photos look really good for the photographer. And it's like, oh, but I'm not enjoying what I'm eating. And that really put me off so many different foods, because I'm like, I was forced to eat particular foods and I wasn't allowed to eat anything else. And then as soon as, obviously, you get told that you can't eat anything else, as soon as the photo shoot and everything's over, what happens? You go and binge. You're like, give me that chocolate bar, give me that lollies. And so all of a sudden, you know, but if those particular foods are just, you know, in your diet every now and again, you're not going to have those binges.
Yeah. Jason won't eat Rocket anymore. He will not, like, even if there is a slice of, like, a Rocket leaf, he will flat out not eat any of it, because he has exactly the same as you, Alicia. Like, he was just made to eat Rocket and what else was it?
Yuck.
Something else. He's and something else. But yeah, and no more Rocket anymore.
Yeah.
Put my Rocket. Oh, I might, his birthday was yesterday. I might send him a bag of Rocket.
Do it.
So, Lisa, like, we've talked about with the other two, getting to a certain size or looking a certain way, and, you know, why I got the three of you on. You've all got different stories. You've, and as your business is called in the podcast, Skinny to Strong, like, you were quite small. And that people are like, oh, I wish I was that small. It's like, well, if you're still not happy, you're not happy. Like,
exactly. And I think
so what's that been like for you?
Well, I think as you said, like, just because I was skinny, a lot of people assumed that I would be happy, or why would I want to go to the gym and work out? I'm already skinny. I got told that a lot. Why are you eating that healthy food? You're skinny. Like, go eat a burger. I got told things like that. And yeah, I got a lot of judgment for wanting to improve my body shape and mental health and things like that. And I think social media has been a tricky one for me as well. I remember posting some progress photos in a few female groups saying, hey, check out what I've done. I'm pretty proud of myself. And a few times I had people judging me. Oh, you know, you've had your photos photoshopped. You're so skinny still. Why are you posting these? And things like that. And at first I really took it to heart. Like, these keyboard warriors, as you want to call them, they were nasty. There's some really nasty people out there. But then on the flip side, there's been a lot of positivity because I've put myself out there and said to people, you know, I wasn't happy with my body shape. You might be surprised by that, but this is what I've done because I want to be happy within my own skin. And you can do it yourself. But don't listen to all those haters, because if you keep listening to them and letting them get to you, you're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to be happy. And I even had judgment from family, just not understanding what I was doing. And over time, I've learned who to tell and who to share more of my experiences with. I want to share them with people that can understand it and can encourage me. And the people that don't quite get it, just share less of it with them. It's not that they don't necessarily like it or things like that, but they just don't understand. So don't let them bring you down. I don't think I compared myself to people so much in the way of body shape, but it was probably more a confidence thing. You know, I'd look at someone in a magazine and just look at her wearing that bikini. She's so confident. I want to be like that. I don't even want to go to the beach in a bikini because I'm not confident. And that, yeah, it's probably a little bit different to comparing my body shape. I suppose I definitely did, but I just didn't specifically go, that's the body shape that I want, or things like that.
Yeah. I think, you probably raised a point where I will now go into the story. It was a huge confidence thing for you, because I remember there was a mentor day at Total Transformations, and you sat in the car because you didn't want to go in there. Your anxiety was pretty high. And I guess that shows how far you've come, because you went from not even being able to walk into that room to lifting weights besides some of these people who, you know, were lifting, and Kane probably lifts more than anyone. You know, you're training with him day in, day out. So that's, kudos to you and how you've transformed yourself. And to me, I don't look at your transformations and say, like, the look at the bar, look at the confidence that has come with that, because I've seen you go from that person that couldn't walk into a room to now lifting with the best of them. So it's really important for people to hear that.
Yeah, and it's strange, but when I look back at, I say, like, old Lisa now, like, it's so far from where I am now. I'm amazed at how much I've grown, and I keep growing. And that's what's awesome about it. And like you said, like, when I turned up to that that trainer's day and I didn't come in, and then a few years down the track, I was going to those trainer's days and actually did a presentation in front of trainers. Like, that's huge. Another thing I'd just like to point out is a lot of things on social media about exercises that you have to do, and you have to look really pretty when you do them, and don't pull those faces when you're doing these exercises. And I hate that when I put an exit, I'll put a workout video online and say, you know, check out my bench press or something like that, and I'm pulling a stupid face, or, you know, I'm not wearing the prettiest gym outfit. And I feel like there's still a lot of judgment around that side of things as well. I'm not doing the Insta exercises and things like that. Yeah. So it's not appealing to a lot of females, because
it's so true. I've got about 50, 60 like videos where I've wanted to share them, but then there's that part of me that goes, I feel like I'm going to be judged if I do, because there's always that little part, and in men and women, and it's 100% true. Like there's stuff that I'm like, oh, should I do it? And there was a photo I took when I was in the best shape of my life. And it's just interesting because like I did a bit of a comparison. I took exactly the same photo, but not in the best shape of my life. And the image that I had abs, it got like 208 likes. And then I posted another one, same hashtag, same whatever it was, and it gets like 11. And it's so sad, is that's what sells. That is what sells, is this idea, this ideology of like, if I said that right, of okay, this is what someone should look like. But I only look like that for same as Alicia, like two weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe less. Like
even the way that you pose has such an influence, and that I cannot pose to save myself. So I always look awkward in all my photos. But I look at other chicks and I'm like, that's how she sells it, because the way that she's standing or presenting herself or what she's wearing, it frustrates me, because that's not normal to me. That's so forced, and it frustrates me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and yeah, no one reads anything these days, so they just see a photo.
Yeah,
they don't take anything into the story behind it, unfortunately. And that's where videos, I guess, can be quite powerful now. And I know Alicia does some wonderful videos as well. I mean, what's your advice to people, to ladies listening with social media and stuff like that? I mean, my advice is to just get off it, but that's not reality. That's pretty hard to do.
Mm-hmm. For me,
it's the space. Yeah. Go, Lisa, you go.
You need to find a support network that you know is a positive group. Like there's a lot of negative ones out there, but whether it's a group of friends or in a trainers group that's got a lot of people that are trying to transform their lives, not just their body shape. If you can find a support network like that, I think that's a really positive thing, and definitely try and steer clear of a lot of those other groups out there.
Hilly. That's a horrible name. I think I went through, this is my analogy of it. Okay. So your social media is kind of like a little hub. It's like your home, isn't it? You wouldn't let an angry person come into your home. You wouldn't let someone come into your house and talk shit to you and be like, you're this, you're that, or give you negative vibes. Right. And I think, you know, if you're into spirituality and you're sage, you need to do the same with your social media. Like I went through and I cleansed it because I'm like, this is not, I've done like a Marie Kondo. I'm like, this person does not spark me joy, because you have total control. You have total control of who you see, what you follow, who you talk to, what you look at. And it's so easy. You just go, oh, nah, you're a wanker, unfollow. Like you don't make me feel good. It's true. It's so true. And it might take you a couple of hours, but you know, this is where you're spending that time. If you're choosing to spend your time there, make sure that your time is a happy one, because it's like going to the shops. Do you know what I mean? Like you want to be present, and if anything makes you feel like crap and it brings you down, it's so easy just to delete it. It's gone. It's not there anymore. It's goodbye.
Yeah.
Sage.
It's an amazing feeling at the end of doing that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, I'll make a comment on that. And I remember a time Shane and I had a conversation about followers and following who you follow. And he said to me, and he's like, you know, you should follow less people and that follow you. And so I had a look at my Instagram and I'm like, oh my God, I'm following so many more people than that's following me. And I felt at that point in time, I'm like, I have to do a cleanse. There was so many people on it. I'm just like, why am I following this person? This person just makes me feel crap. Like, you know, to me, they seem so fake. Like they've got this, you know, face full of makeup and doing a workout and this, you know, top of the nines outfit gear. And I'm like, why am I following these people when I can't relate to them? Like I'm not someone who wears makeup doing a workout. This guy's going to sweat it straight off. But yeah, as Shane said, it feels so good. Like after doing that cleanse, like I got rid of like probably about 300 people on my Instagram. And afterwards I was like, I felt so relieved. I was like, oh my God, why was I following all those people? And I had, as you say, Alicia, like you have full control. And I'm like, I kept putting myself through that misery of like watching all these people. But then I got rid of them all. And now it's like, you know, still on a, you know, weekly basis, I'll have a look at my followers and following and be like, oh, you know, it's crept back over again. I'll delete some people. And it does. It feels so good. It's like the only people that I'm following are people that I want to see, like that they, I feel comfortable around them and I don't feel judged and that. So,
I'll ask you a question, Alicia. We were both, 2 years ago, we were both in a magazine competition. I'm not going to name the magazine. How did you feel about that? So when we entered the competition and then they put everyone's photos into the magazine, I instantly felt like it was just a popularity competition. And when I saw the winners, I was like, well, shit, I had no hope against these chicks because they were completely covered in makeup and tan and they looked so beautiful and all that sort of stuff. And I just felt like it was a really judgy competition. And I hate them now. I do not follow anything to do with them. And I'm like, why did I do that? It actually just felt like it put me down. Didn't make me feel confident at all.
I completely agree with you. Like now, I completely forgot about that until you just brought it up. But I thought the exact same thing afterwards. I'm like, why did I put myself through that? Like it was such a popularity contest. Like you go back and have a look at who the people who the girl who won it or even the girls who were in the top 10, like their Instagram followers was huge and it was just about popularity and that. And it was like, as you say, it's like I've never had a chance or anything, but, yeah, we put ourselves out there to do this competition and, you know, we look back now and go, what were we doing? Wow.
I voted for you. I voted for you both.
Thanks.
I also voted for five. No, I didn't.
Thanks again for listening to the PSV podcast. I'd like to just quickly interrupt you to share some exciting news. Recently, I was accepted onto the TV show Adventure All Stars, which is produced by Charity Global TV. In the process, I need to raise $10,000 for Mindful Oz, and I'm so excited about this opportunity. I'd love your help in any way, and I'll share all of the links in the show notes. And you can check it all out as I embark on the next 10 months and then go on the adventure of a lifetime. Thanks again for listening, and if you would like anything, please reach out.
So what else has it been like, you know, ladies? Yeah, what do you see in your clients through transformation? Because you probably have people come to you and they're like, oh, I just want to look like this, but it's really hard. And, I mean, is there anything you can share that wouldn't be, you know, overstepping the boundaries of a client? Or success stories or anything?
Yeah, I've got one. I work with this beautiful woman. She is lovely. And we all say that, but no, she genuinely is. She's a really, really beautiful woman. And her confidence was absolutely shot. And I don't think she would mind me sharing this, but she was overweight. She had two kids. She was young, or she is young, not was. She is young, but she put so much pressure on herself every single day to eat just like, but it was so much pressure doing not like we understand it as, you know, the wrong things, but to someone that's got like a mental complex about, you know, what the body looks like and what the body does, so to speak, it was about kind of encouraging positive habits instead of like telling, you know, if a client comes to you and they're like, they might be overweight and they're exercising six times a week was what she was doing. She was exercising six times a week and wasn't really eating, was starving herself because that's the way that she thought was the best way to see and achieve results. And I think to have, for anyone listening that is in a sense of, you know, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to do. And if you're in a place of, you know, oh, well, I think what I'm doing is working, I always just ask the question of like, well, how do you think that's working for you now? Because it's the same as like mental health. Like my psychologist turned around to me and was like, you know, you have this tool set that's lasted you for this many years and it worked for you once upon a time, but now it's time to like upgrade your tools and get into a bit more tune of, you know, what to do. And I think having someone that is empathetic and understanding instead of trying to dictate to you which way you should go, what you should eat, when you should eat it, how much exercise you should do, when you should do it, what time of day. Look for someone with empathy and have someone that's empathetic to you and that can understand that, you know, it's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to do anything. So I think that's what my piece of advice would be, is look for empathy.
I think that's a fantastic one because that comes with the level of understanding of the person and the individual and true care. Whereas a lot of trainers, and I get it, and I get why this happens, and I get why the client gets sucked into this. They want every week for something, for any, like, do you need to do this week? You know, you need to change this week. And if they're not getting that constant reassurance that something has to change, they think they're failing. Mm-hmm. Or they get scared that things aren't going to go the way they want. And as we sort of mentioned number four, sometimes, you know, a client just needs to be told for 12 to 18 weeks just to keep doing what they're doing. Because that's okay.
And eventually you want to be able to teach them. Like, I feel like, you know, you've done an absolutely fucking incredible job if you've taught someone and they don't need you anymore. Like, that's my only goal. Yeah. I don't want to work with these people forever. I want to make sure that they learn how to do it. They've done it over. It might take 12 months. It might take 2 years. But in the grand scheme of life, that's a pretty short amount of time. Do you know what I mean? And if they can, after, you know, 6 to 12 months with working with one of us, do you know what I mean? And they can then implement those habits moving forward without us. That's the biggest success. And that's what that lady has done. Like, she's like, you know, you've changed my life. And she was mental health, all of these things. And it didn't happen over 12 weeks. It happened over 12 months. And I think that's the greatest misunderstanding in the whole world is, you know, it's not a 12-week thing.
Yeah, I think Alicia and I have spoken about this where I'm, you know, doing work now. He sets up his mental health program, so 6, 12 weeks, or 12 months. But at the end of each of those is a monthly maintenance program. So you don't just sign up and then go, I'm healed, I'm better. You sign up ongoing appointments once a month. So less, but it's, And the 12 month program is one session a week for 8 weeks. Then it's one session every 2 weeks for 16 weeks. Then the third term is one session a month, and then it goes to one every 6 weeks. And it's slowly widening the gap so that the person doesn't feel reliant on the coach or the trainer or the mentor to be there by their side all the time, because they need to be able to learn how to do it by themselves as well. So I know Alicia and I have talked about in the future changing Vitality Fit to really teach, like we are teachers at the moment, but to really emphasize the fact that we're teaching you this after 12 months or 18 months or 2 years, we only want you in a maintenance program. Like, you know, and if the whole business runs off maintenance programs, then so be it. I just think that's a fantastic way to have the mindset of it, because if you get someone that's, you know, out on their own walking to a gym and owning the shit out of that gym with confidence, that's a better platform for a client retention base than if you're getting results every 6 weeks and then chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing, and that's just stressful. Like, it's on everyone. So I love that you brought that up. Anyone else?
I feel like that work with clients that need to find people that they can relate to and work with. And I think the reason why so many of my clients have stayed with me, like I know a particular client has made this comment to me that, you know, if you were someone who was wanting to get on stage and be that stage body person, she wouldn't be training with me because she couldn't relate to me. She's like, I don't want to be that stage body person. I just want to be healthy and be able to run around with my family. So it's about clients trying to find something that they can relate to. And by me also showing my vulnerable side to them, just show that I'm human and that, you know, that's, as you said, Alicia, you had a donut for breakfast. Like they also know that my weakness is like strawberry licorice. And I will tell them that I have strawberry licorice. But they know that I'm not perfect and that I do have those imperfections because they don't want a trainer who's perfect. They want someone who they can relate to and that does stuff up and, you know, that can just help them along the way and to work through those particular stuff ups, I suppose. So I think it's about, yeah, finding someone that you can work with and find that connection that is vulnerable as well with you and not trying to be up on a pedestal and be so far above the clients. It's about working on the same level as the clients because I'm not better than all my clients. I've just got the, you know, different knowledge background to them. So, yeah.
I like that. That's
Lisa?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with that, what you said there, Alicia. Kane and I have been making a point with our clients to be really open with them and share that we're having struggles just like them and things that we've done to work through them and just to let them know that we're here for them, especially through this COVID time. Like it's been really tough for everyone and I think that they thought that we were fine and to speak to them. We did a video with them in our client group and just to say to them, look, we're struggling just like you. I think they really appreciated that we were sharing that with them. Yeah.
Well, it's that strive for perfection. The more we strive for perfection, the more we end up burning out or when we think we've reached perfection, we crash. Like, so it's, like we're human beings aren't perfect. They never will be. It's not possible. So it's really important to just put across that you're not perfect as well and you're going to make mistakes. And, each mistake you're going to – yeah, yeah. And I think there's a kid walking down the driveway looking for the cat. So I was just hearing this kid and it's driving me nuts. But it's one of those things like, the more we strive for perfection, I remember having this conversation with someone and I went, this trainer client was all, they were just perfect all the time, like, and that's all you could see from them. And the person said to me, yeah, but I'd prefer that over someone that keeps making mistakes. I was like, really? Like, wouldn't you rather them make mistakes along the way? Like, and they're like, no, because this will get them a result. I'm like, yeah, but it'll also have them in 6 months' time turning around and giving up. Like, so what's the point of that? Yeah, I mean, and we're not sitting here saying go out and drink every night or have takeaway every day or whatever. It's just becoming aware of those decisions so then you can alter them. Because, and I had this conversation with Alicia yesterday and it's so relatable to me. Prior to being coached by Jace is I wasn't aware that I was eating all the stuff I was eating. I was just eating it. Whereas now I'm just conscious of it. And naturally that makes me alter things slightly. And I think that's all you need to do is you just need, because this is the thing, everyone knows what's going to help them lose weight if, like, they know the foods.
Everyone.
They know.
Everyone knows what we should do.
Yeah. It's not rocket science. Yeah, and that's not the problem. And so I think when you're giving out a diet sheet or whatever, a plan like that, you're giving them something they already know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so that isn't, we know that can't be the problem.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we run into problems a lot of people, trainers might run into problems is they, you know, they're handing out these diet sheets and this person might follow up for 6 months and get this awesome result. Then 6 months later, you look at them and they're quite overweight or they're back to doing what they're doing. It's because they were never actually consciously aware of the changes they're making. So they didn't keep them.
Yeah.
So very powerful messages there. Ladies, love your work. Now, switching back to being business owners and your mental health, I'd love to finish on this. This will be the last topic I bring up, and then I'll leave sort of an open floor for you guys, girls. What's it like making sure that you look after your mental health while still running your business and being in charge, or not being in charge of other people, but having other people come to you? Go with Alicia Mortley first.
I feel like not only am I a trainer, I feel like I'm a counselor at the same time. I've told my clients to reach out to me, but there's some days that I might take longer to write back to clients because either I've got to make sure, I want to be in the right headspace when I write back to my clients and be giving them information. I think that's been a real struggle is that obviously, you're trying to keep yourself afloat and making sure that you're the leader of your particular business, but you're also counseling however so many clients within your business at the same time and trying to pick their motivation up. Like everyone's like going through different roller coasters. So, last week I'll have all these clients going amazing, but then there'll be a couple of clients who are really down in the dumps and I, need to try and pick them up again. And then all of a sudden they'll be back, and then a couple more fall back down again. And it's just that constant roller coaster of clients continuously going through ups and downs and those troughs and that. And it's, I suppose, just reaching out to them and showing them it's like, it's okay. It's reality. It's okay to have these down times. I have them. And I think as soon as I reveal my vulnerability side to them and go, I've been through the same thing. Last 2 weeks ago, I experienced what you're feeling right now. It kind of makes them feel a bit more at ease. And be like, oh, that's okay. If you're going through them, it's not so bad. And it's like, just reassuring them that it's not going to last forever, that it will only last for a short period of time, and to try and just start small, try and just tick off a couple of things on a daily basis and then just work your way back up again. I think that's been the challenge, is just to make, balancing everyone at the same time, because that's just not going to happen because everyone's going through so many different ups and downs as life is just happening differently for every client.
Yeah.
So,
what do you do for your mental health to make sure it is in check?
There's a few things. Like now exercising for me is something that just escapes me from work. Going out and walking the dogs is escape from work. I don't think about work or anything. Just going out into fresh air. Sometimes, I set the chair up in the sun, just out in the garden, just to chill and not even have my phone with me whatsoever. So having no social media connection to me, it was just to kind of like have a bit of a debrief. I have been watching some trashy TV, but that's kind of like, it's, I said to Shane yesterday, I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Saturday night. But, it made me, there was none of that is connected to work. It's just like, I was completely shut off from work. And that's what needs to happen at times, because if I'm constantly thinking work, 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 I'm just going to burn myself out. So it's so good to watch trashy TV and be like, this is not my life. And it's just like, I just get lost in it. And that does help me. So as trashy it is, it is kind of, nice to just take a break away from work completely.
Alicia, do you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians as well?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm not gonna lie. But I do agree with the. I agree with the trashy TV thing, though. Like, I just engross myself at nighttime in something that's just mindless. It's just mindless. You don't have to pay attention to it, and it just. Because I used to be like in the question, like, what do you do for your mental health? I'll go like the opposite way. But I write. I love writing. I just lose myself when I write. It's something I'm really passionate about. And I've got into the habit of doing that nightly now, which works. And I write about anything and everything now. And like since we kind of made the decision to not have the gym anymore, I feel like I've got a lot more freedom in my mind to be able to write what I really want. And I used to exercise as a form of like getting away from it all. And then I tried yoga and I was like, nah, no, I need to fight. Like I need to punch stuff. So I started doing boxing instead. And that was super cool. But I think as, you know, business owner, yeah, okay, we're personal trainers. But what I think a lot of people, and I think actually, I think what everyone does not understand about any of us is that we're not just personal trainers. We are counselors, but we are also marketers. We are email responders. We are, you know, we wear so many hats on a day-to-day basis that sometimes you don't even know what fucking hat you've got on anymore. And you're just like, what am I doing? Who am I? Am I PT? Am I, you know, the counselor? Am I someone that's trying to sign up new people? Because whilst you're training and then whilst, you know, talking to people, because that's how you communicate, you're also then, you know, selling, you're writing, you're blogging, you're da, blah, blah. Like, and you're just trying to do everything. And like, for me, and I know it might be similar for you guys, but it's just been me. It's only me that's doing that. Like I've been doing this on my own now for like 3 years. And you just, we do not give ourselves enough credit and just go, wow, I'm fucking awesome. Like look at all the shit that I'm doing and I'm doing this on my own. Like you look at the large franchise gyms, they've got hundreds of people. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, but they've got like teams and teams of people that are doing their marketing for them, that are, you know, doing the lead generation, that are doing all these things. And it's just us doing that. We're just one man bands. Mm-hmm. And I think that takes a huge toll on your mental health when you do not take and stop for a second, be it monthly or be it weekly, to go look at everything I have achieved this month. And that's just me. That's all me. It's not him. It's not her. That was just me. And I burnt myself out so badly last year because I stopped doing that and I didn't take a second to even credit myself for all the work that I wasn't just doing for my clients, but I was doing, you know, in the community, because we all do those things. You know, you do the fundraisers, you do the, like you guys at Vitality did the burpees and stuff like that. That's for the community. That's raising awareness. Like you're not just, oh my God, I just got a really weird message. You're not just doing it for you. You're doing it for everyone. And, you know, we need to be so proud of ourselves. Like look at the last 8 months and how we have all personal trainers, not big gyms, but PTs and business owners that are sole traders that are doing it on their own. You know, just how we have just adapted. Like I said to Shane, like we cannot package up, like, you know, cafes can, they can do takeaway and stuff like that. But we can't package up health and fitness and go, here it is. It's $50. It's going to be sent by Australia Post, and there it is for you. Like we have to sell an idea of a better person, like in a better life, and that is so incredibly hard to do. And when you convey that message and you have those people believe in you, like we've all got our teams behind us, and I just think we're all absolutely fucking incredible, and we're all awesome. So, yay us.
Lisa.
Yeah, I think for me, working from home, I've been doing it for a few years now. I've learnt that I need to have time that's business time and I need personal time, and I need to go, okay, it's a nice day outside. Let's switch off from the computer, switch off from my phone and go take a meal and sit outside just for half an hour, just to switch off for a bit. Going for walks has been a really important thing for me. It helps with my lower back pain as well, but just getting out and moving, I know how good I feel after doing it. So that has been a priority for me, to get out and seeing how much Kane's struggling. I'm like, okay, so just little things like that is going to make a big difference. Hey, let's go open the curtains and let the light in the house, because that makes mm-hmm. you feel better. Little things like that you might not think help, but it makes a big difference to your overall mental health. Definitely switching off at the end of the day and watching Netflix is a priority of mine. I can't say that I watch the Kardashians either.
Hey, come on, I got no support.
On your own on that one. just not always holding so much pressure on yourself to be the best every day, except that there are going to be days where you're going to struggle and you might not get anything done, and that's okay as well. Try again tomorrow when you're in a better headspace. Because some days I'll sit at the computer and go, I have this massive list of things I want to achieve and I can't, my head's just not working, and I get so frustrated. And then I'm like, okay, maybe let's do something that's not so much about the thinking. Maybe it's a creative something, or just completely walk away. And having hobbies is another really good thing. I haven't done a lot, honestly. I want to get back into painting and things like that, but even just doing things around the house, being productive, not just sitting around, because I know how much sitting around just puts me back into a really crappy headspace. So just finding things to do. I see a lot of people doing awesome things around their house. I'm like, you know what? This is a really strange opportunity for everyone. Let's take advantage and do something that I might not have time to do 3 months down the track. That's been keeping me going.
Awesome.
I started killing plants.
Killing?
Yeah, I'm good at that too.
Oh, yeah, because, Lisa, like, you know, around the house, and everyone was buying plants, and I fell into the, I'm going to get some plants from Bunnings, and I've killed them all, apart from this one. This one, I've got one, and it's literally like my baby now. I'm like, I will grow you, I will flourish you, because all the rest are dead, and I just feel really disappointed.
I bought some succulents for my brother's birthday, and just before it was just before lockdown two, and I didn't get to give them to him. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to kill these, because I kill everything. And I can't believe it. They're flourishing. Some of them have been flowering. They're in the laundry away from me, and I don't touch them very much. And I think that's the key.
Those are good ones.
Don't touch them. But I'm proud that I haven't killed those ones. They're a present.
One thing before I go on to, I guess the last thing is, you mentioned earlier in the podcast about your niece and being having some anxiety about going back, I guess, into the real world, so to speak. Everyone might understand when I say real world.
Back to reality.
Yeah. And it's going to be different. We all know that. But my worry, and this is obviously from myself, my real worry is that people aren't going to be able to adjust. And anxiety and depression, I think people have probably managed pretty well through lockdown, I'll be honest. There's obviously exceptions to every rule, but I think the statistics will show that more people have reached out for help and are getting the help they need. But my worry is when we go back to some form of reality, because people aren't going to know how to interact anymore, and there's going to be all these new rules and 1.5 meters, and people are going to get really uncomfortable and awkward, and that's my worry. And I guess I want to ask you three how you think you're going to be able to manage that as well.
Like, I've seen it firsthand. Like, we've swept parks opened. Was it last week or the week before? And we were catching up with a couple of friends so the kids could play, and I had a girlfriend who, it was the first time that we'd all come to the park, and She had to leave, and she had to leave because she felt so overwhelmed with the amount of people that, and there wasn't like, it wasn't a huge amount, but she was so overwhelmed, and it took her a good day or two to come to terms with, okay, I'm going to be around, this is an adult woman, I'm going to be around people, and her daughter had suffered as well with, you know, kids, watching them how to learn how to re-interact with each other. And it was just too much. And I've had a couple of friends and clients reach out and say exactly the same thing. It's just, you know, you're so confined in being your own home and being your own company that there was the opportunity to get out there and, you know, to socialize to a certain degree. And it was just incredibly difficult. Like I it's the same when with going back to the gym, the first lockdown, I was petrified. I was so scared about going back and teaching face-to-face because I thought I've just been sat behind this computer and I've been sat on Zoom and now I'm going to have to go back. And I was like, I was scared shitless like the day before. I was nervous and I was excited, but I had more nerves than I did excitement about going back because I was just like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can, you know, go and do that and be that person again because I'd just done 4 months of being at home inside.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Also just degree.
In relation to, yeah, I feel you there, Alicia. Like when I thought I was going back, you know, the weekend, I think prior I had like the same type of anxiety. I'm like, you know, I'm excited to go back, but, you know, I've been stuck behind this computer the whole time. But I suppose my advice to people out there to adapting back into real, you know, civilization again properly is to just take small steps. Don't go straight back to the way we used to operate, because if we go from what we're doing right now, which is like very little, to all of a sudden going back to the old way we were doing, it's just going to be very overwhelming, and we're just going to bombard ourselves and just get ourselves, you know, wear ourselves out straight away. So it's about just taking those small steps and just including things, you know, progressively. And realize that it's okay to say no to people, that, you know, if someone asks you to go out and do something, it's like, no, I've already done something today, you know, I can't go again. Like, you know, I'd love to see you, but I just need to look after myself at the moment. And just, you know, people understand that, because everyone's going to feel the exact same, you know, a lot of people will feel those anxiety issues. So it's, I think, it's just making sure you do take care of yourself. But, it's saying, okay, you know, it's okay to say no. Don't feel like you've got to say yes to absolutely everything.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that as well. I think for me, because I have been able to go out and work and I have been around other people, I might not be too bad, but I think bigger groups of people I'm going to struggle with. My anxiety is more of a social thing. So thinking about going to, say, a barbecue with a whole group of friends, I'm not sure if I'll feel super comfortable around a big group. I think I need to ease back into small social gatherings for me to ease back into things. And definitely taking small steps is a really good point.
Alicia's just sent through a message saying she's got to go. Someone's picking up some mats, but guess what? It's actually really good timing, because that's all the questions I have for you. And I guess just on anything that was spoken about today, is there anything else you three want to add for the listeners that you think might help? And I guess just give your businesses just maybe a 30-second shout out. And if there's anyone that wants to work with you, go for it. And I will put all the links in the show notes as well for all three businesses. And I'm sure if people want to reach out, they will. So start with Alicia Hill and then she can leave.
So now I am officially Alicia, the health coach. So that's going to be my new branding. It's what I'm working on at the moment. Obviously stepping away from tactical fitness, mindset, movement, eating food, and loving yourself sick and feeling good naked is what my thing is. That was a bad plug. I need to work on my elevator pitch, don't I, guys? It's my first time.
Thanks.
I'm like a virgin.
Thanks, Alicia. Thank you,
Lisa. Yeah. So I am a host of the Skinny to Strong podcast. I host that alongside Kane, and we specialize in helping skinny people gain healthy weight in a healthy and sustainable way. It's all about long-term gains.
And fiance, what would you like to say?
So I am the owner of Vitality Fit, based in Chirnside Park. Currently running everything online, and you know, as soon as we get to open and go to face to face, then I'll be doing stuff in the outdoor area, and then progressively making way back into the factory, focusing on group boot camp classes and also group weight training sessions as well, to for people to feel physically and mentally happy with themselves.
Awesome. Alicia's gone. As I said, I'll put everything in the show notes, and I do want to thank you, Lisa and Alicia.
Thank you.
For joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Power, Strength and Vulnerability, the Mental Health Podcast. If anything in this podcast has brought up difficult feelings, please call Lifeline on 13 1144. For any further information, or if you want to bring your story to life, contact Shane at shane@vitalityfit.com.au. That's VITALITYFITT.com.au.